Welcome to Home But Not Alone with Tim and Sarah, where we talk about real life as a stay-at-home Catholic parent. If it's noon and you're still in your pajamas, have reheated your coffee 3 times and tried to pray but got distracted, this is the place for you. Life is crazy, but through it all, remember, you're never alone. You've got God's grace and our friendship coming your way. Today on Home But Not Alone, we're going to chat about the things we love about our spouses. We find that sometimes spouses can get into the habit of complaining about what they don't like about each other, especially on social media, or how they wish the other spouse would improve. But we want to take an opportunity today to practice gratitude and encouragement for our spouses, and then encourage you, our listeners, to look for things that you appreciate in your spouse as well. Hey, Tim.
Sarah, how are you?
Doing good today.
I have this pack of cards in front of me. It's a movie quiz game. My mom gave me this. And I promise I don't put things on my desk for conversations.
I really don't. You say you don't, but you really do.
I really don't have to. I could, you know, we could talk about a lot of other things on my desk right now, but this is it's reminding me of the pop culture, Do You Live Under a Rock episode?
Oh, yeah.
And I'm like, oh, we could do a whole episode of just asking you movie questions, because that's, you know, like,
I probably wouldn't know them.
I know, that's why it's fun.
You guys should go back and listen to that, though. If you missed that episode, Do You Live Under a Rock? It was so funny.
It was a lot of fun to make, too.
My desk is usually clear because, like, I can't think when there's stuff all over my desk, but today it's a mess, so I might be a little scatterbrained.
Wasn't that the Einstein thing about if a messy desk is a sign of a cluttered mind, then what's an empty desk a sign of? Like an empty mind? didn't Einstein say something like, I don't know, Einstein says.
I don't know. So what kind of desk should I have if I want to have a smart mind?
I don't know. Einstein didn't explain that part. No, let me ask you this. In what year were the films Toy Story, Braveheart, and Apollo 13 all released?
Oh, my goodness. I don't know. When I was a kid, 91.
95.
Oh.
What I love about that is you couldn't possibly care. That's the best.
Your no, I really like, don't no. care.
No, that's fair enough. Oh, gosh. Reese Witherspoon won the Academy Award for Best Actress in 2005 for her
role. Oh, you know what I meant to tell you? I'm going to interrupt you because I don't care about what you're saying. I was talking to my husband about that episode, Do You Live Under a Rock? And he has not seen any of the Star Wars, not even the old ones.
Really?
Just for your information, in case you're wondering.
Wow. I don't know what to do with that information.
Anyway, well,
speaking of spouses, that's what we're talking about. Best transition ever. Let's talk about some of the things, like, so people have a tendency, I think, to vent about their spouse. I think we have a tendency, we have a tendency to be the roughest on the people who we are the closest with. And if you don't believe that, watch how any child treats their parent, because we innate sense of they aren't going anywhere no matter how poorly I treat them. And we do that to God, and we do that to our parents, and we do that to our spouses. We shouldn't do that. Yeah. And I understand why children do. It's a developmental thing. But I think that's a real struggle for a lot of people. And especially when it's like, okay, when I have a struggle with my spouse, who do I turn to? Because I think habitually we turn to someone who isn't the person we have a problem with. Right. If I'm having a problem with, my friend X, I turn to friend Z to ask for counsel, to seek counsel, which isn't inherently gossip. And we can talk about that another day, but seeking counsel is different. So I can do that. But when it comes to my spouse, the person who I turn to for counsel is most often my spouse. And it's hard to turn to that person, I think, sometimes for counsel when they're the person you're having an issue with.
Right, so, when you're mad at them, yeah.
Yes. So I think that tends to drive people to other places, friends outside the marriage, or social media, or wherever it is, as opposed to turning back in toward your spouse, turning to God, turning to somewhere that isn't taking your marriage out of your marriage.
And social media is the worst because it's like totally acceptable on social media to just complain about your spouse. And everybody's like, ooh, I'll complain about my spouse too. So it really feeds the monster. Not that social media is like causing the problem, but I think it's really feeding the monster because it feels like a release and like a safe outlet to just be like, oh, got to vent for a moment. Here's X, Y, and Z that my spouse did today. And people are like, my husband does that too. And like you feel like, okay, well, now you feel like you have community, but it's not going to help solve your problem.
No.
And it just does more harm than good. And one thing that I was thinking about is, you know how you hear like, don't go to bed angry or something like that? Is that a thing people say?
That is a thing, yes.
I don't agree with that. Okay, because...
Neither does my wife.
All right, so even if I like... If I'm really mad at my husband for something that he did, like, that actually makes me mad, I could just be, like, in the wrong part of the month and be super hormonal. And if I go to sleep, the next day, I could just be totally over it. So as a woman, I think it's fine. Just go to bed angry and you'll be able to forgive in the morning instead of turning something little into, like, this huge, gigantic, big issue because you insist on talking about it in the moment. So even, like, whether it's to your husband or, like, to someone else, like, just relax for a minute before complaining. Like, go to sleep, sleep it off. And I mean, obviously, like, real issues you have to talk about, you know, to your spouse or whatever. But
we do have to be careful when we're talking about things. Are we talking about them when we're too tired to have the conversation? And I know what some people say, well, you're a parent, you're always tired. Okay, that's true. But when can you have this healthy discussion? When can you do it when you're going to be at maybe not your best, but not your worst? And I love how you brought up that social media is a problem, because it really is. Speaking of which, I would like everybody to go like us on Facebook and follow us on Instagram. That'd be great. Home But Not Alone. Go check it out. We post happy things and healthy things and things that challenge you to be better.
And funny things.
Yes, it really is. Social media really is a tool that we can use for evangelization, for, you know, communication, for interaction. But we have to make sure that this tool, I mean, it's just like a hammer. You can take a hammer and you could build a house with nails and wood. Wonderful. It's a great tool. You could also use that hammer and smash your neighbor's head in. Okay. And that's a tool. So how you use it. For the record, I didn't come up with that analogy. I heard a priest say it at a youth conference, and I just thought it was – he used it on a teenager, though, and I don't think he said hammer. I think he said axe. He said axe. That's what it was. He said, I could use an axe to chop wood, which is a productive thing, or I could use an axe to chop this kid's body. And I don't know why. I enjoyed that. But yeah, it's a tool. It is a healthy thing, or it's a thing that can be used for healthy means as opposed to unhealthy means. So Sarah, what do you have any examples of things that your husband does maybe that you would like to affirm? Because it's so important that we talk about these things. What are the good things? Not to brag, but to challenge other people, hey, marriage is a ministry and we should share things that are good and challenge other people to share things that are good.
So one of the things my husband does for me that I really appreciate is that he shows me that he values me getting time like out of the house and away from the kids. So every week I go to a Bible study, like a women's Bible study, and Chad comes home from work and then stays home with the kids. Or sometimes I go to like mom's night out, or we started up this new thing called like a dinner theologian society where we read a book and then we go chat about it. But he like supports that it's really important that I get time to interact with adults without the kids around. And especially if it's faith-based, he makes sure that that happens. So I appreciate that when he does that for me. Another thing, and along the same lines, is helping me get out of the house sometimes, is once in a while on Saturday mornings, he'll stay home with the kids, and I can go out and do the grocery shopping by myself, which is like a total treat. Maybe run a few errands. Recently, he did this, and I was able to grab a special breakfast at a coffee shop, and he told me, take your time, we'll be great. And so not even just like doing that for me, you know, being home with the kids so I can get out, but being supportive in his attitude and, you you know, just keep telling, it will be great, or texting me updates. I really appreciate that he does that for me. So it's not like constantly that I'm like getting out of the house. You know, I have my Bible study once a week, and then occasionally other times he'll give me that opportunity. But apart from, you know, helping me get out of the house, another thing that he does is he does bedtime with the kids. And I really appreciate that, because it can be hard. You know, I'm the one home with them all day, and then I feel like I have a time when I kind of hit my limit. I don't know if you have the same kind of feeling, but when 8 o'clock hits, like
8 a.m. Yeah. 8 a.m.
Yeah.
That's when I hit my limit.
Yeah. Hit your limit at 8 a.m. 8 p.m. That's my limit. And when that hits, I mean, I'm not saying this as it's a good thing, but it's really hard for me to continue to be patient and like parent and discipline the way that I want. So Chad, my husband, does bedtime with the big kids, and he puts them to bed and he prays with them and reads them a book. And then I usually do bedtime with the youngest. I only stay with the baby. I guess he's 2 years old. He's not a baby anymore. But so the baby's my job and the big kids are his job. And so I think that's important, because we don't necessarily like split up housework, or I don't know if you would say chores or whatever, but we do in that way and in different ways kind of split up the different roles around the house. And I appreciate that. Okay. Another thing is Chad's attitude, my husband's attitude, that I appreciate about the house being a mess, because even though we're home all the time, I can't manage to keep the house clean for some reason.
Well, like, you're going up against people who, I mean, their goal in life is to make a mess. I mean, they wake up every morning. Yeah. And they're just like, all right, how are we going to cause chaos today? Obviously, we have to make a mess. Dump that on the floor. And there's more than one of them, so they're clearly working as a team.
Yeah, right. And if I'm cleaning one area, like somebody's destroying another area. So
absolutely.
You go around in circles. And I do have them. We all work together as a family for cleanup at the end of the day. Like, we do that. But still, sometimes when Chad gets home from work, the house is like a total explosion. And I really appreciate that he doesn't like come down hard on me about that. And in fact, one time he had said to me that he doesn't mind when the house is a mess when he gets home, because then he gets a glimpse of what the kids or the family have been doing all day. So if he sees whatever toys out, or he sees the school workout or whatever craft they were doing, it kind of gives him this inside view of what we've been up to. So he sees past the mess, where sometimes I'm just like, ah, mess. But I appreciate that, you know, that attitude that he has and that acceptance of our mess and him viewing it as an opportunity to kind of get an inside scoop of what we've been up to.
That's a fantastic attitude. That's yeah. So good.
Well, you know, especially what I'm gonna do? Since I'm like a neat freak. So it bothers me, but having him balance that, like, that's really helpful.
I'm gonna stop cleaning up is what I'm gonna do. So when the kids throw, when the 1 year old throws his lunch on the floor, I'm gonna leave it there. So Jess can come in and go, oh, you guys had macaroni for lunch. So then she's part of our day. No, I'm kidding. I won't be
right. We'll see how she likes that. I thought you would appreciate the inside scoop of what we've been up to all day.
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
Oh, let me know how that goes.
It's like, you know that story about how somebody pooped on the floor? There's a visual aid. Like,
oh, my goodness. That's pushing it.
That's what I do.
And then there's little things that I guess maybe they can seem like little things, but they do make a big difference. So, for example, Chad thanks me for making dinner every day, whether he enjoys it or not.
Whether he enjoys the dinner or whether,
yeah, whether he enjoys
it.
Dinner or not, he'll thank me for making it, because I did make it, even if it turns out to be disgusting as a new recipe.
Sure.
Didn't go over very well. So I appreciate that. And then maybe he'll tell me later if it's a recipe he doesn't want me to make again, but not at the moment.
Oh, that's much more polite. Okay. That's, yeah.
But yeah, that's important to me, especially, you know, being tired at the end of the day and just feeling appreciated. And then another one, I guess this doesn't fall under the little things category, but he prays with me and with the family. And I really do appreciate that, that he takes the time to sit and pray with us, even though family prayer time can be like a zoo. So yeah, those are some things that I am grateful for that my spouse does for me. How about you? Do you have a few things you want to add to the list?
Oh, of course I do. I have plenty. But just a few here. So my beautiful bride, Jess, she is a nurse, as I've talked about, and we'll talk about a lot in this and other things. But nurses are very unusual people, and they have strange schedules. You know, they work holidays, and they do gross things, and then, you know, talk about them at dinner. And they but they also often, at least with my wife working at a hospital or when she's teaching, she has to get up very early. Like sometimes if she's teaching, it'll be in the 4 or 5 o'clock hour. And if she's working just her regular 12 hour shift, she's up in the later end of the 5 o'clock hour. Well, I'm not a morning person. I spell morning with a U because we all should be morning that we're out of bed. Like that's how I feel about it. So
I was trying to figure out which vowel you were substituting with a U. I'm like morning, but no, like M-O-U, morning. Okay.
Just adding a no, the oh gosh, math I'm bad at and spelling. It's how do I make it to adulthood? But I'm definitely not a morning person. And so my wife will, on the days she is not working, she will get up with the kids first. Now, sometimes we will wake up at the same time, but she'll be the one to leave our bedroom and go deal with the kids. Give me time to take a shower or to, you know, I make the bed every single day. So just something that then I can do by myself for a few minutes to start to ease into my day. But another thing she does for me is on the days she is working and gets up in those insane hours, she brings me a cup of coffee and puts it on my bedside table.
Oh man, that's cool.
Yeah, so I don't have to leave my bedroom to get my morning coffee. And that's good because one, I'm always terrified that one step outside my bedroom is gonna wake up my kids.
Yeah.
Or they're already awake, and as soon as they hear anything, they're like, right. Well, now we're all up. And it's like, no. I haven't had my coffee. You're
like, they have that radar.
Yes. Oh, they absolutely do. So she brings me coffee right to my bedside table. And
oh, she's awesome.
Oh my gosh, it saves my day. It really does. Another thing is I'll get texts from her from work regularly, and usually she's saying things like, you know, you're a rock star dad, or thanks for being a rock star husband, and that means a lot to me because this is. Well, it's really challenging. And frankly, there's not a lot of opportunity for affirmation in just general as a stay-at-home parent. When, you know, the kids are as little as my kids are, they'll say thank you when I give them something. Sometimes I have to tell them to say thank you first.
Right.
But there's not a lot of going out of their way to say, you know, hey, you're doing a great job at this, or this is going well, or whatever it is. So it's a lot of that. Now, you run into the occasional person in public who says, oh, dad, you're doing a great job. Or the guy ran into at Walgreens the other day who was like in his 80s. And he said, I raised 5 of them. You're doing good. He goes, enjoy this.
Aww.
He goes, it goes by fast. If you don't believe me, look at you and then look at me. And I thought, oh, okay. So what you're saying is I'm going to be 80 any second. Okay, good to know. All right, that's great.
I feel like especially for you as a stay-at-home dad, like if you turn anywhere, like to social media or the popular culture, you get the opposite. Like you get cut down more often than affirmed. So that's really important. I think that your wife does, you know, appreciate and affirm that and do that for you so you can remember, like, okay, this is a good thing, like keep it up.
You know, it's kind of this double-edged sword as a stay-at-home dad, because on one hand people will say, well, you know, you're not providing financially for your family, so what's wrong with you? On the other hand, some of the affirmations almost come off like, oh, good job, dad. You kept the kids alive for 5 minutes.
Aww.
It's something that a mom can do without even waking up. Like, you know, it's almost.
So either way, you feel insulted.
Sometimes. It depends on the person. It really depends on where they're coming from. Sometimes I see them and I can read their face and they're, you know, it's like, yeah, that was a genuine affirmation. But, you know, it's I just saw a commercial the other day and it was for. men for losing weight. And it was like, here's your prepackaged meals you order and they show up. And the guys in the commercial were like, yeah, I don't even have to prepare anything. I don't have to make anything. I just pop it in and it's ready. Or I just open it and it's ready. It's easy. No effort. I lost 18 pounds. I didn't even have to try. And I'm like, wow, way to make men sound lazy and stupid. Okay.
Right.
Like, there's a comedian who once did a bit where he was talking about, it's like this woman saying, my husband is so bad at this. And so I made this for him and blah, blah, blah. And dad's in the background tangled up in the blinds going, I don't know how it works. And it's like, we do kind of treat dads like morons.
Yeah. And, make me sick.
We're not. So the affirmations really do help in a world that's kind of like that. Another thing, and I do a lot of meal prep and cooking and stuff for the family, but whenever it's possible, my wife Jess will make meals that are ready to just be popped in the oven, and she'll make freezer meals. So I don't have to do quite as much to make dinner. So, you know, the main dish is just, oh, boom. Take it out in the morning, defrost it, pop it in the oven. And that can be an enormous help when, let's say it's back-to-back days, 2-3 days in a row where she's working 10-12 hours each day, then it makes a big difference. Because by the time you get to, hey, it's time to prep dinner, kids are like, hey, you know, some of us have been awake since 6 a.m., and we're ready to melt down and demand that dinner be ready immediately and that it be a different dinner and that you give everybody attention. Also, can you hold all of us and not hold us at the same time? Like,
all it, right. And like, with her out of the house, you don't have an extra hand to balance that. So that's
exactly
awesome.
And her being a nurse, she often gets home after the kids are in bed on the days she works, or at least one of the kids is in bed by the time she gets home, God willing. So the fact that she's willing to do that, especially in times when things are extra chaotic, it makes a big difference. Another thing she does is she takes the kids out of the house when she can for us to record this podcast. Like right now, they are not in the house. So I don't have to deal with interruptions. I can focus on being present to our conversation, to the needs of all of you who are listening, to whatever it is God's putting on my heart to say. I can be present, which is so difficult to do. And it's great because that means that, one, she is supportive of me. She's supportive of you and I and this work and all of you who are listening. But also she's taking, I don't know, she's just helping. It's great.
Yeah, it's awesome. I really do appreciate that she does that, especially since then we only have to juggle, you know, one set of kids, getting them down for naps and occupied while we go to record, because my husband, you know, he works the standard, weekday schedule. So we don't have, you know, he's not around to get the kids out of the house so we can record. So it's nice that she can do that so that we only have to juggle one set of kids and keeping them happy while we record. It's awesome. I appreciate her support.
Oh my gosh.
Sure.
If you and I were both trying to keep kids content and quiet or whatever, while trying to record this, it would almost never happen.
It would be crazy.
So that's just fantastic. Another thing that she does is she makes our marriage a priority. So a lot of people, unfortunately, I think they're working, being a working spouse or being a parent, they make their life primarily about their job, or they make their lives, you know, about the kids before anything else. And I get that to a degree, because without the job, you don't have the means to provide the basics and the kids. I mean, it's like, how do you not focus on the kids? They're right there. They have great needs. So I understand that. But in the midst of all of our chaos, we kind of work together to keep God at the center of our lives. And when we can keep God at the center, and then we can focus on each other, and that makes us better parents. That makes me better at ministry. That makes her better at the ministry she does through being a nurse and nurse educator, because who are we kidding? That is a ministry. It's also a job, but it's most certainly a ministry. And, you know, there's that old saying about, as married persons, it's our job to help get our spouse to heaven. And, you know, my wife will know that I've had a rough day, or I have, excuse me, that I do have a rough day ahead of me. And so she'll pray a rosary for me on the way into work.
Well, I'm glad you gave that example of like what that looks like, making your marriage a priority, because I was kind of wondering, like, what does that concept mean? You know, when it comes down to what does that actually look like? And that makes me think of, I think that my husband and I, you know, my husband does the same thing. Like, I know that if I'm having a rough day, I can send him a text message, and I know that he'll take the time at work to pray for me. Like, he will actually take the time to pray for me when he's at work. And then I feel supported, you know, in doing what I have to do at home, even when he can't be right there with me. So,
yeah, it's, I can't remember. Oh gosh. You know what? It was an episode of the old animated show King of the Hill, which I love, where the one guy was being hit on by a woman, and he was married, and he was like, she says, no one will ever know. And he says, no, there are three people here tonight, you, me, and my wife. And I was like, just because you're not with, I was thinking about this in reference to all this stuff, just because you're not with your spouse doesn't mean your marriage isn't there too. Being at work or being at home, your marriage is still there. Your spouse is still there in some sense. So I think that attitude really helps she and I. So I want to kind of jump to a separate thought, not just a list, but I've regularly heard from women that they say that they have husbands who don't help around the house enough or help at all. I've heard of husbands who come home and get mad because the dishes aren't all washed, or they come home and say, well, I've had a busy day, so now I'm going to go take time for myself and spend hours away from the family. And, you know, when I sit there and it's like, I'm a husband, I'm mad because the dishes aren't all washed when I get home. You know what? Instead of getting upset, pick up a bleeping dish. Okay. I mean, come on, gentlemen. Like, that's absurd that a man would ever come home and treat his wife like that with such ingratitude. So I know a lot of husbands and fathers out there who do a great job in sacrificing and in giving of themselves to help around the house, do all kinds of things. But, you know, gentlemen, if you are tempted to be selfish, go kneel before Christ on the cross for 5 straight minutes and then just take action. Okay, love your wife as much as Christ loved us from the cross. Do anything and everything you can to help provide, because that's, as we've talked about before, providing is not just financial. We need to get down on our hands and knees. We need to do the hard work, and we need to do it together.
I love that you're taking this opportunity to hold husbands accountable, you know, for showing support in their marriage and just being the husband God's calling them to be. So I want to take this opportunity. I would like to put a challenge out to wives as well, and challenge us to hold ourselves accountable as well. You know, just stop complaining about your husband on social media. It's not doing anything to help. And really all it's doing is it's taking an opportunity to hurt. It's causing gossip and tearing him down. It's not good for him. It's not good for your relationship. And it might feel like a good release at the moment, but really it's counterproductive. It's definitely not going to help your relationship get better. If there's something that's a problem in your marriage, go to your husband about it when you're in a calm state that you can talk about it and bring it to him and problem solve together. But stop airing your dirty laundry online. Just, you know, resist the temptation and don't do it. But also look, you know, inside and see, where is this really coming from? And sometimes I can get into the habit of, you know, thinking these complaining thoughts about my husband, but, you know, not looking at myself and saying, well, am I being accountable to myself for how I spend my time, you know, around the house and how I'm investing to my marriage too, because we can't put it all on either, you know, one party. It has to be us working together. So that would be my challenge to wives.
So we just want to thank everybody for listening today. Join us next time for Things You Might Not Know About the Mass. Please make sure to subscribe to this podcast, comment and share and like on social media, all that stuff. It really helps us in this podcast in making it. And any feedback you have, please feel free to reach out to us. Sarah, where can people find you?
ToJesusSincerely.com is my blog, and I'm on social media at ToJesusSincerely.
And you can find me at chastelove.org or on the various social medias at the Chaste Love. So, you know that extra pair of pants you keep for the toddler in the diaper bag? Pack a pair of pants for yourself too, because toddlers might not just poop their pants, they might poop yours as well. And remember, you're never alone.